Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Soita Daf Chaf Aleph. We begin on line 7 from the top of the Amud. V'yesh zechus toila gimel shana. In the Mishnah we learn that at times a Soita, although guilty, will be protected from the waters. There'll be a delay in the effect. It can even take 3 years for her to experience the tragic result of the drinking of the waters because of a zchus. Zchus will protect her. Asks the Gemara, zchus demai. What type of zchus are we speaking about? What did she do to earn this protection? Ilem zchus de Torah. Is it because of her learning Torah? Ha'ena mitzvah v'oisa. We know that an isha is not commanded. She doesn't have a mitzvah of limudat Torah. In which case, hard to believe that doing something voluntarily will generate such a zchus, will give her the power of the Torah protection to the extent that it could actually delay and protect her for 3 years. Ha'eino mitzvah v'oisahi. Ela zchus de mitzvah. Oh, apparently, she did some great mitzvah which protected her. Asks the Gemara, does mitzvah really have that extent of protection? Zuchus the mitzvah mi magna kuli hai, does it really protect a person to this extent? We're speaking years after the fact. We're speaking even an issue who did something inappropriate. So how can you suggest that a mitzvah that she did way back should have such a prolonged effect on her? Should have such an impact to the point that it can delay the einish for 3 years. Mi magna kulihai, does it have that much protection? But Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Ezo darash Rabbi Menachem bar Yosi. Rabbi Menachem darshened the following pasuk in Mishlei Vav. Ki ner mitzvah b'toroir. So mitzvah is equated to a candle, a light. Toroir, to the source of light. Why this difference? Tala hakosav is a mitzvah b'ner, v'sa Torah b'or. The Torah connects mitzvah and ner, and connects Torah to the source of light. Why? Es a mitzvah b'ner, the equation, the connection between mitzvah and ner. Lo melach satichu ma ner eino megina. Is a girsa meir elul lefisha, just like a candle, only burn for a certain, you know, a set amount of time until it goes out. Av mitzvah eina megina elul fisho. Likewise, the protective powers of a mitzvah are limited. They can protect, you know, for a short time. As opposed to Torah, whose protective power are more longer lasting. V'asa Torah bar, that's why we connect Torah to the source of light, which never goes out. What I'm about to tell you, ma'or. This is a girsa meir loilam, just like the source of light, just keeps on emitting light. Av Torah meginin loilam, likewise, Torah has that ongoing protection. V'omer, we find the same in the following pasuk. We find that Torah accompanies a person and protects him on an ongoing, constant basis. Bisalecha chatan cha'ischa. Right, we say this at the Hadron, right? So we learn bisalecha chatan cha'ischa means in this world. Za'ilum hazeh, Torah will follow you, will keep you company, will escort and protect you in this world. The pasuk continues, b'shach v'chatishmar alecha, even when you're sleeping, so to speak, the Torah hovers over you, protects you. Zumisa, that's during death. V'akitzoisa hisechecha, when you get up, the Torah will advocate for you. L'asid lavay, after tchiyas ha'meisim, when we have that period, the Torah will come and advocate for us. Mashal la'adam. This whole concept of Torah protecting a person, as well as mitzvahs protecting a person, is analogous to the following illustrative analogy. Mashal la'adam. It's a mashal to a person. Shayim mahalech bi'isha in laila v'afel. He's traveling the roads in the middle of the most darkest night. Umis yari min ha'koytim. He has a lot to be worried about. Thorns, umenapchasim, potholes, umenabarkanim, other types of thorns, umenchayirah, animals, umenalistim, robbers. On top of all that, he's lost. He has no clue where he's going. So he's stuck. Suddenly, he chances upon a torch, a flashlight. Okay, that gives him some sort of assistance, at least a partial help. So now he's not worried about the puddles and the thorns, but he's still worried about the other things. Robbers, animals. He's still not sure where he's going. He's still lost. But kivan shalomud hashachar. So the avukah shalor is like the mitzvah, somewhat protected, somewhat illuminated. But once the sun rises, kivan shalomud hashachar, and it's flooded with light, the robbers are gone, the animals are gone. Nitzal mechayro u'minalistim, and that's the Torah experience. Torah lightens up the mind and the heart, and protects a person from all these threats. And Rashi says, of course it's a mashal, it protects a person from chet and from yisurin, from sinning and from many types of calamities. But he's still not sure where he's going. It's light, but maybe I'm on the wrong road. So how does he get around that? He gila parshas drach. This is the final phase. He gets to the crossroads and he figures himself out. Now he knows where to go. Nitzal mikulam, he's fully safe and protected and on the right path. A little more later we'll discuss what Parshas Drachim is referring to. It's Yom HaMisa, it's the end of the road, when he's fully accomplished, concluding a life full of Torah and mitzvahs. Now he knows that he's safe and sound, asad lavi. Otherwise, you never know, perhaps he'll veer off the road. We'll see later in the Gemara. Bottom line, this mashal illustrates our point, the difference between a mini light, which is like the mitzvah. It gives him miktsas, hagonah, it protects him somewhat. But the ultimate is Torah, which floods him and his surroundings with oir, with light, with brightness, and gives him that added protection. Davar Acher, another difference between the mitzvah and the Torah. Avera mechaba mitzvah. A person can do a mitzvah for which he deserves schar, but then he gets involved in averis that could cancel his schar. Vein avera mechaba Torah, but it can't cancel the schar of Torah. Torah is more powerful than averis. Shenemar, and this is based on a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Maim rabim, the great waters, the floods of averis. Lo yuchlu lechabes es ava, they cannot put out the intense love generated by Torah. Bottom line, we have a kasha. Because here we see, true, Torah and mitzvahs protect the person. There's a big difference between the level of protection afforded by Torah and afforded by mitzvahs. Torah gives long-term protection. Megina lo'ilam, even when he's not actually involved in the learning of Torah, but mitzvah is a limited protection. It's only l'fishah, it's a temporary protector. So how can the Mishnah tell us that an isha who's involved in a schus, and we assumed it's a schus of mitzvah, because she doesn't have the mitzvah of Torah, the tzivah of Torah, so at most she's involved in mitzvahs. Even if she's learning Torah, it doesn't have more power than a mitzvah. So how could it last for 3 years and override the inappropriateness that she was involved with? Amar Rav Yosef, he says like this. True, the level of protection afforded by Torah is greater than mitzvahs. But nevertheless, even mitzvah has a strong power of protection to the extent that it could protect the soita for 3 years. Amar Rav Yosef, mitzvah, when a person is doing a mitzvah. So be'idna da'asek, but while he's actually involved in the ma'asa mitzvah, the mitzvah experience creates a double protective barrier around him, spiritual and physical. Magna protects him from calamities, from yisurim, from puranus, umatzla, and it also keeps him away from the yetzahara. So the spirituality that envelops him when he's doing a mitzvah serves as that protective ring around him, protects him from the yetzahara as well. But that's only while he's actually doing the Masa Mitzvah, while he's connected to the Nair of the Mitzvah. But while he's not involved, he's done the Mitzvah, so he has some lingering protection. Aguni Magna, it still protects him from physical difficulties, from physical Yisurim, like the case of the Soita with the water. Atuli Lemasla, but doesn't really protect him from spiritual threats. So that's the answer to that question. The Soita who's involved in a Mitzvah can still be protected over the long term because of the power of Mitzvah. Torah is on a high level. Bein b'idna de asak ba, or bein b'idna de asak ba. Whether he's actually learning the Torah, or he's not learning the Torah right now, but he was learning Torah, Magna Umatzla has both protective powers, protects from Yisurim and from the Yetzer Hara. So that's the answer to the question. Right, we said the Aschus protects an Isha even up to 3 years, even though she was involved in Avir. What type of Aschus? Torah? Well, she's not Mitzvah on Torah. She can't have the added protective powers of Torah. Aschus of Mitzvah? Does it really last that long and that far? Yes, it does. So although certainly the protection of Torah is greater than Mitzvahs, because even when he's no longer actually learning the Torah, it gives him the double protection, something which Mitzvah can't do. But a single protector, the Hatzolah from Yisurin, even Mitzvah can do, even though he's done his Mitzvah years ago. Maskevla, Rabbah has a kash on this. Elamiyata, that's the case. That a study of Torah can have long-term effects on a person to the effect that it protects him from everything, even when he's not involved in learning, protects him from Yisurim, protects him from Yetzer Hara's threats. What happened to those two people? Really ask about Torah? We know, of course, they were involved in Torah. They were great Talmid Chachamim. Amaylo Yigina Alayu. How did Yetzer Hara get to them? How do they fall for his temptations? Elam Arava. So Rava says like this. I'll take it a step down. We're still going to have pshat now a Mishnah. Because a mitzvah can protect a person even when he's done that mitzvah. But I want to just, downgrade a bit when it comes to the protective powers of Torah. Elam Arava. When it comes to Torah, while he's learning, Magno Matzla has both powers, from Yisurim and Yetzer Hara. When he's not actually learning anymore, Aguni Magna can still protect from Yisurim, but not from Yetzer Hara. Atzuli Le Matzla. And that explains why even a great Talmud Chacham like Doeg or Achi Teifel can fall for the onto the trap of the Yetzer Hara, because it won't protect him permanently from the Yetzer Hara, as opposed to Mitzvah. Bein b'idna de asik ba, whether he's doing the mitzvah. Bein b'idna de asik ba, or he's done the mitzvah. Aguni magna. Atzuli loy matzla. It will protect from Yisurim, but not from the Yetzer Hara, which actually is consistent with Rav Yosef. So the only point of difference here is in terms of the Torah protection. Rav Yosef says that Torah can protect you completely while you're learning, or even afterwards. Rabbi disagrees. He says once you're done learning, it only has partial protective powers. And that explains why Doeg and Achitefel succumbed to the Yetzer Hara. But bottom line is, we have a terrorist of the Mishnah. Even a schus of mitzvah can protect the Isha for the long term. Ravina Omar, I'll tell you another pshat. Loilam schus Torah. You know what? The Isha can have schus of Torah. Look, Amos, what about your question? She's not commanded. How can you give her that protective power of Torah if she doesn't really have a true connection to the Torah experience? True. She's not commanded to actually learn Torah, but she's commanded to act as a support team for her husband and her children. So she shares in their schar. But Agra, in the schar, in the reward, the Mikrayan, Umasnai Benayu, that they encourage and support their sons to learn Mikra, Chumash, and Mishnah. Right? They prepare their lunches, they take them to school. And number two, when it comes to men as well, their husbands are supported by them, encouraged by them. But not from Lul Gavrayan, they wait. Their husbands return from the Beis Medrash, the Asum Beis Medrash, So all that encouragement, all that support, certainly gives her a stake in her husband and boys learning Torah. Milay palgam ba'dayu, do not split with them our schar. So the Isha can be saturated with the schar of Torah and the protective powers of Torah, and that explains our Mishnah as well. Let's go back for a moment to that mushal, this fellow traveling on the road. In absolute darkness, he found a candle, he found the Amud HaShachar, and finally when he gets to the Parshas Drachim, then he knows he's on the right track. My Parshas Drachim, what is that a mushal to? Amrav Chizda is a Talmud Chacham. We're speaking about a Talmud Chacham who's toiling in Torah, but you never know. He might veer off. When does he have that assuredness, that confidence that he's safe to go? V'yay Misa, on his last day. If he kept connected to Torah, to the Oil HaTorah, and didn't allow himself to be tempted by other things, so once he reaches the Yom HaMisa, he knows, oh, now I'm good. But until then, you never know. He might be snatched at any moment. So that's the mashal. When he gets to Parshas Drachim, the crossroads, the very last point of his journey in this world, and he's still connected to Torah, now he knows he's good. Rav Nachman Ritzel Gomar, Zeh Talmud Chacham, again, we're speaking about Talmud Chacham, Yiras Chet. Parshas Drachim is a reference to a person's immersed in Musar and Yiras Chet. So Torah is true, and it instructs him, it shows him. But who says it's going to conform? Who says it's not going to be tempted by the Yetzirah? For that, you need a great dose of Musar and Yiras Chet. That's the Parshas Drachim, which leaves him safe and protected from the Yetzirah. Marzutra Amar, how does he know that he reached his moment of assuredness? Zeh Talmud Chacham, we're speaking about a Talmud Chacham, the Sakalei Shmatzah that he's learning was so crystallized. Alib de Hilcha said that he's zoicha to paskin and to have clarity in halacha, and his colleagues accept him and his opinions. Then he knows he's truly accomplished. Davarach, so Rav Nachman Rav Yossi says, look, there's another difference between Torah and mitzvahs. Avera mechaba mitzvah, an avera experience can go ahead and cancel a past mitzvah experience, but it can't do the same to Torah, which is all the more powerful than an avera. Vein avera mechaba Torah. And this was based on the pasuk, Mayim Ravim, even the biggest averes, lo yuchlo lechabes es ha'ava, they have no power against Torah, the most intense moment of dveikus with Hashem. Om Rav Yesi, Darshi, I'm impressed. Darshi, Rabbi Menachem, Rav Yesi, Rabbi Menachem Darshi, in this pasuk, lahai kro, ki sinai, like it was, the way it was said at Har Sinai. I really like his drasha. Vilmole dorshua, doyeg v'chetefel, if it only were so that Doeg and Achav Tefel who pursued David would have, you know, had the same insight in this pasuk, Hachi, Lo Yiratfu Basar David, they would have not chased David around. Because they figured that David, on account of his involvement with the Neshes Ish, with Basheva, in their opinion, negated all his Torah, and now he's free prey. The Siv Leimor, Elokim Azova, Hashem abandoned him because of his chet. Based on what? What it's saying? Were they saying that? Because of the fact that they perceived that he was a Baal chet, Maidrosh, based on which pasuk? Pasuk says, Leiroi b'chalvar ervas dover, don't get involved in erva, v'shab macharecha, that can cause Hashem to leave you. So they figured they have open access to David. They can pursue him, because he no longer is being protected by Hashem because of his avera. V'hein einon yodim, but they did not have this information. Sha'avera machaba mitzvah, v'hein avera machaba Torah. True. An avera can sometimes cancel a mitzvah experience, but it can't have an effect on Torah. David HaMelech was totally immersed and saturated with Torah's Hashem. That can never be affected, even if theoretically he was involved in an avera. Now, a bit earlier, we had the pasuk. You meet an ish. Mayim rabim lo yuchlu chabes es ha'ava. Right? All that water cannot extinguish our intense love to Hashem, which is expressed and experienced when we learn Torah. And the pasuk continues. You meet an ish. Es kol hoin beisoy. Even if one offers all his wealth, ba'ava, to contribute to, have a part in this ahava, he's sort of going to, you know, buy it off. Boys, he was loy. They just negate him. You're worthless. Now, what is that? What does that mean? If you're supporting one who earns Torah, that's a great mitzvah. Why are we putting you down? My boys, Yabuzuloy. Amar Ula. You're right. It all depends on timing. Like Shimon Achi Azariah. True. We're not speaking about an example like Shimon, who had a brother by the name of Azariah, was a successful businessman, and he supported his brother Shimon. He made a deal. Supported him so they can learn Torah. In fact, that's how he was called, Shimon Achi Azariah, because his brother Azariah is credited with Shimon's learning. He's mentioned in the first Mishnah of Maseches Brachim. That's great, because his support, his financial support, enabled his brother's learning. Another example, like Rabbi Yechanan the Ben Yisya. We're not negating a situation like the arrangement that Rabbi Yechanan had with the Nasi's family. They would support him so he learns Torah. That's great. On that, we don't say, boys, you lose the law, we just negate you. What then? You came too late. You came after the fact. Eloki Hillel is Shavna. Like Hillel and Shavna, his brother. What happened? The Chiyasa Rav Dibi. When Rav Dibi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he told us as follows. There were two brothers, Hillel and Shavna, Achi Havu. They were brothers. Hillel asked the Torah. Shavna, Avad Isk. Hillel was immersed in Torah. Metecha Oini, he was in dire poverty, that famous Gemara in Yuma, where he had no money to pay the entrance fee, he was stuck on the roof overnight. His brother was doing well in business. And he did not support Hillel's learning. It's only later on that he had second thoughts, he had regrets. L'saif Amrle, later on. Shavna turns to his brother Hillel, he says, you know what? Let's make a deal. Ta na'arif, come, we'll share the fortune. Vilifle, again, you'll give me a portion of your schar, of your Torah. Although I didn't support you until now, but let me buy off a piece of your Torah. That doesn't work. Yatza baskel v'amra, a heavenly voice calls out and says, this very pasuk applies right here. It's too late. Imita and ishes kolhein beisa, even if you offer everything. Ba'ava, to sort of get a chelak, get a portion of that ava. You should have supported him before he started learning. You should have actually been there when he needed you. Don't come now when it's too late. Boys, you wuzle, we just cast you aside. Okay, so we had a shaila in the Mishnah. How could the Isha's Mayim not work for 3 years? How can she be so protected? Based on what? What great deed did she do? Is it Torah? Is it mitzvahs? And we had a whole discussion about the difference between the protective powers of each one. And the Gemara had two solutions. Either it's schus of mitzvah, which indeed does protect a person, although not on the same level of Torah, but it still can protect a person in the long term. Or we had the pshat that she really has a schus of Torah because of her husband and boys learning by way of her support and encouragement. Omer ben Azai. Chayiv adam lamed yisbita, Rebbe Elazar Omer, no, kolam lamed yisbita Torah, lamed tiflus. Rebbe Elazar holds, teaching a daughter Torah is teaching her silliness. Tiflus akadaitach, how do you say Torah silliness? Elayimah ki'ilu limda tiflus. It's as though. Why? Because she's not, intellectually inclined, and therefore she'll misuse her information. It's not a good thing to do. Omar Avo, my time the Rebbe Elazar, where's Rebbe Elazar coming from? Apostle Tichsiv, Ani Chachma, Shechanti Arma. We learn from here. Kima Shenichnasa Chachma v'Adam, a person's engrossed in Chachma, in Torah, Nichnasa Imoy Armumis. He becomes shrewd. And if a person can't handle that shrewd, that Chachma, that shrewdness leads him in all kinds of, unwanted territories. So therefore, Torah is meant for the man who has a mitzvah of Torah, as opposed to the Isha. Rabbanan, the other sheet of the Rabban who say you can't teach, and you should teach your daughter Torah. Haich ani chachma yavdilei, what to do with this pasuk, which sounds otherwise. Miboyle, they use it for the other drasha. Look at Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Chanina. Dov Rabbi Yesi, Rabbi Chanina. Ein divrei Torah miskaimin. If a person really wants to be zoicha the Torah, you should know that you can only have it Ela b'mishem mamid atzmai odom aleyin. A person views himself as undressed. I have nothing. I'm totally detached and disconnected from all worldly endeavors. Not only that, I'm poor. I'm reaching out to anybody who can teach me Torah. Loimid mikol adam. I grab and I invest in more and more Torah. That's the person who will be zeichat to Torah. Shenema ani chachma. If you want to have chachma, shachanti armo, you have to be like an adam orim without clothing, meaning totally dedicated to Torah. Amar b'yechman, ein divrei Torah miskaimen, el b'misha mesim atzmei k'misha enei. If a person wants to succeed in Torah, it only works if he treats himself like enei, like he's non-existent, like he's nothing, with total humility. Shenema rava chachma. Where is chachma found? Me ayin timatze. A person who treats himself like an ayin, like a nothing. Mike, what does Rishua mean in the Mishnah? Hachigami means like this. Reitze isha. He's just highlighting the fact that an isha is not really suitable for the Torah experience. Reitze isha bekav v'tiflos. An isha prefers even a small measure of income. She prefers even, you know, living a lower standard of lifestyle. V'tiflos, as long as her husband spends a lot of time with her. V'tiflos imoy. Metisha's kav, and she wants that more than having a higher standard of income, uprishus, with separation from her husband. So she's more emotionally inclined, more emotionally needy, and therefore, you know, that supports the contention that the isha is not really meant to be immersed in Torah. That's not really her specialty. Hu hayaymer, Rabbi Yeshua further tells us that one must be careful from imposters. It's all about what's going on internally. True character is important as opposed to externals. Chassid Shoyte, all these fellows are not what it's all about. Hey chidami Chassid Shoyte, what exactly is this Chassid Shoyte doing? Ki goin de katav itza banahara. So he walks by the river and there's a woman drowning. V'amar, he says, no, not for me. Lav oirach ara, it's not appropriate. L'stakulava to view her. V'atzulan to save her. He walks away. So he's conducting himself as a chassid, as a righteous man, but it's a chassid shoita. It's a very silly presentation of chassidus. Heichi dami rasha arm. That's the second guy on the list. A rasha arm. What is that? A conniving, wicked man. Om Rabbi Yechanan, this is going to be a smart fellow who's using his shrewdness for wickedness. You know, he's trying to conceal his wickedness through his shrewdness. He has a dinter, and he beats his litigant to the dayan, and he runs over, and he presents his case to the dayan before his friend has a chance to do the same. Which sort of, you know, sways the heart of the dayan before his friend gets a chance to present his side of the story. So he's a rasha aram. Doesn't appear to be doing anything bad. I'm just presenting my case, but he knows the truth. He knows exactly what he's doing. Hervo Amar, Zanoisin Dinar La'ani, Lahash Loy Masayim Zurs. This is not, as we learned in the Mishnah. Let's see the Mishnah first, and we'll explain. Mishesh Loy Masayim Zurs, a person who's not so poor. He has in his possession 200 Zurs. That puts him, you know, pushes him over the, above the poverty level. Lo Yitol Leket Shikho Peyamas Oni. He no longer has the right to collect all the, you know, the things which belong to the Aniyim, the Leket, the stalks that were dropped, shikha, the ones that were forgotten, or peya, the corner of the field of Masarani. So basically, he can't really benefit from, you know, public assistance, because he already has 200 zuz. But let's say he had 199. Hoyle Masayim Chasar Dino. He had 199. Is he eligible? Yes. Afil Elof Noisnloi Ke'achas. Even if he has 1,000 people showing up at once, give me a coin. 1,000 coins at once, he can take them all. Hare Zayita, because right now, I'm below the poverty line, 199. So now, even though I'm showered with coins at once, it's okay. So back to our fellow, the Rasha Arim. What happened? He knows that this fellow here saved up 199. And he doesn't want this fellow to take the Maaser Ani. You know, he's a big farmer. He doesn't want this fellow to benefit from the Maaser Ani, etc. You know, he has a friend, a relative, who he wants to give it to. So how does he lock this person out? He says, come here, I want to give you some stuck. And he gives him a coin, which now gives him a total of 200, which locks him out of the Matanis Aniyim. So he's pretending to be a big tzaddik. Here, take tzedakah. but really he's scheming against him. It's a plot. It's a ploy. It's a way to get him off the scene, to make him ineligible. Ineligible for the Matnas Anim. He's a Rasha Arum. Rav Asi Amar Biechen, I'll give you another example of a Rasha Arum. Zahamasi Eitzo Limkor Benuchasa Mu'at. So, the halacha is, if a person passes away, leaves behind a large estate, enough for the sons and the daughters, so the boys are Yerush, they're the actual inheritors, and the daughters are supported from the estate until, you know, they get to the point that they're adults, etc. Let's say, we only have nechasa mu'ata, not enough to go around. What's the halacha? The girls get it to support themselves, and the boys have to go fend for themselves. That's the halacha, as we discussed back in Maseches Ksubos. So what's this fellow doing? He notices, you know, this type of situation, that there's a Yerusha with boys and girls, and there's not enough to go around. So he goes and he steps in, he butts in, and he advocates for the boys. And he tells the boys, quickly, go sell off the assets, so your sisters can't access those assets. And that works. Although they're not supposed to, but if they do it, it's over. If the boys went ahead and sold off the properties, Masha Machum Machum, it's sold, it's gone. So he's mixing in to something he shouldn't. And he's advising the boys for their benefit, so to speak, but it's to the detriment of the girls. That's called a Rasha Arum. He's a shrewd Rasha. Abayam, another example. Zahamatzi Eitza Limkar Benuchasim Kirab Shim Gamliel. So he's giving a fellow advice to sell off the assets in accordance with Rav Shim Gamliel. So it's going to be to his gain, but to the other person's detriment. That's a Rasha Arum. Looks like he's trying to help somebody, but really, he's trying to harm the other person. What exactly is this? The Sanya. Nichsai Lach. So Reuven tells Shimon, you know what? I'm giving you my assets. Vacharecha Leplani. And after you pass away, it goes to the other person. So Reuven gives Shimon his assets, and he says to Shimon, you know, after you pass away, whatever's left behind goes to Levi. V'yorah harishon amachar. And Shimon, you know, quickly goes to the field and he sells it off. V'achal ani, he consumes the money that he got for that field. It's over, nothing left, not a trace. The field's gone, sold, money's gone. Hasheni moitzi miyad l'kuchos. So now, when Shimon passes away, Levi can come back and reclaim that field. He can take it from the buyers. That's Rebbe's opinion, because after all, Shimon's balus, Shimon's ownership, was a limited ownership. He only got it as long as he lives. It was meant to be handed over to Levi. He had no right to sell it. So now Levi can come back and take it. Rabban Shimon, he disagrees. True. Perhaps Shimon had no right to selling it, knowing that it's meant to be transferred to Levi after his passing. But once he sold, it's over. Because currently he's the owner. So Shimon Leimer, Ein L'Sheni, Ela Mashashia Rishin. Levi can only access what Shimon left over. That's it. But what's sold is sold, is gone. So that's the case of the Rasha Arum. Why did Shimon sell? Because this pseudo-lawyer got involved and helped him out and advised him to sell it. Supposedly for his benefit, but really, he was harming Levi. He was being a Rasha Arum. Rav Yosi Bar Chama Amar Rav Sheshes. I'll give you another example. Zeh Machriya Achirim Baruch Yosef. So let's take a look at Rashi here. Five lines from the bottom. HaMachriya Achirim Baruch Yosef. He's showing. He's pretending. He tells other people, look, Ru'u Basu Kamoini, Luchu B'drachai, look, follow my ways. Everybody learn from me. His purpose is to present himself as a chassid. People shall think highly of him. And it's just a mask. It's a cover up for what's going on inside. His interior, his internal, his character does not really match his exterior. The reason why he's presenting himself this way is to mask his internal situation. So he's a Rasha Arum. He's really a Rasha, but he's, you know, he's shrewd about it. Rav Zirka Amar, Rav Huna, another example, Zahamekel La'atzmoy, He goes easy with himself. He runs a lenient, you know, spiritual life. When it comes to others, you have to be machmer. You can't do this, you can't do that. So people think of him very highly. Although in private, he does what he wants. Ula Amar, another example of a Rasha Aram, Zashakara Vishana, Ula Yishimir Samani Chacham. A person is totally immersed in Torah. He learns Chumash, he learns Mishnayis, but he does not spend enough time with Tamid Chachamim, who will show him how to truly understand Torah. Torah is very complex, very complicated. You need Shimur Samani Chacham, you need a Rebbe, you need colleagues to show you the intricacies of the Torah learning experience. So this person who appears to be a big Talmud Chacham and presents as such is a misleading character. People will now regard him as an authority, where he's really not, because he doesn't really have a true command of his Torah material. Okay, so it's all about integrity. It's all about emes, internal emes. Okay, we start with a shaila. How could the isha be protected for 3 years? What did she do right? Either the schus of mitzvah, which protects, or the schus of Torah, because of the support and encouragement to her husband and children. We learned that a person is never assured, never guaranteed, until he's Yom HaMisa, when he knows that he's been successful throughout his life. Another pshat is how important Yiras Chet is. Musar, and we spoke about Mesiras Nefesh for Torah, being humble, being open to understand and to learn from anybody. We learned about these characters who present one way, but really it's just a diversion, it's a mask. How important it is to be Toich Givari, to be internally consistent. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.